Second chapter of the book of Acts. We'll read together verses 44 and 45. All the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods. They gave to anyone as he had need. Will you turn now to the fourth chapter of Acts, beginning at verse 32. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was with them all. There were no needy persons among them. For from time to time, those who owned lands or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone as he had need. There are few pictures in all the world more beautiful than the picture of God's family responding to the needs of one another. It may be more tender and beautiful to witness a mother's love for her child. It may be more beautiful to watch and witness the love between two who are committing their lives to one another in marriage. But I'll tell you, there are few pictures in the world more beautiful than when the family of God respond to the needs of one another. In Acts, the fourth chapter, we read for the second time about the unity and the spirit among these brethren that was there. There is a great statement in verse 32 about the unity that they experienced. It says, all believers were one in heart and in mind. You remember the prayer of Jesus in John, the 17th chapter, how he had prayed for the unity of his followers. And he prayed, Father, that they may be one, even as thou art in me and I in thee. In Acts 4 and verse 32, we read that unity was present in the early church. Oh, that we might experience that unity. That we might be one in heart and in mind, in purpose, in goal, in mission, in attitude, in faith, that we might be one. Then there's a great statement in verse 32 as to the unselfishness of the church. It says, no one claimed. Now I want you to notice that is a claim in verse 32. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own. Now, folks, there is a great deal of difference in making a claim and in putting it into practice. Amen. I would imagine that all of us who are Christians this morning would make the claim that nothing that we have is our own, that Jesus, the creator of us all, has given us all that we are and all that we have, and that nothing is our own. It's his. That's the claim. But I want to tell you something. Putting that into practice is a different situation. You know, in essence, every week when the plate comes by, we prove how much we believe that statement. The early church not only claimed it, they practiced it. Look down a little further at verse 34. There were no needy persons among them. Why? For from time to time, now I love the way that is worded, from time to time, it wasn't just a one-time thing that took care of everybody for all time. It wasn't that kind of a deal. It was every so often as a need came to the surface of the family of God meeting in Jerusalem, that a brother would go and sell a land or sell his house and bring the proceeds of that sale to the apostles and say, hey, I know that someone is in need. Give this to them who have need. From time to time. You know why I believe that they were able to practice this high degree of unselfishness? It was because they had learned very early in their Christian experience what Peter had stated in Acts chapter 2, that God has made this Jesus whom you crucified Lord and Christ. I believe these people had come to the place where they said, nothing is our own because Jesus is Lord and it's all His. And they quit talking about me and my and mine and ours, and they just said, it's His. And if the Lord needs something, He can have it. If the Lord needs some of His money that He's given me to possess for a while, He's got it. If the Lord needs His house that I live in, I'll just open it up and let Him have it. Because it's His. And the Bible says they took their possessions and they sold them. And they took the proceeds and gave to the apostles to distribute to those who had need. I would imagine that 99.9% of the time, they had no idea the name of the people who were going to receive the proceeds of the money that they gave. I mean, this family of God in Jerusalem was exploding, and I mean, it was just growing so fast there was no way in the world to keep up with everybody, to know everybody who was coming into the fellowship of God. The growth that they experienced surpassed any growth we have ever experienced at Quail Springs. But it wasn't important to these brethren to know who was receiving the money. It was enough for them to know there is need among us. And because Jesus is Lord, this is what Jesus would have me to do. You may not know this morning the families or individuals personally who are going to receive the proceeds of the money that is given today. That doesn't matter. It's enough to know there are needs among us. And there are. And Jesus is Lord. And if He needs some of my possessions or some of the money that I possess, then He's got it. That's what Acts 2 and Acts 4 is all about. That fellowship and that love that flowed between the members. Do you think that these people sold their possessions and gave them because they genuinely and truly loved one another? I believe that they did genuinely and truly love one another, but I don't believe that's why they gave. I believe they gave because they understood the lordship of Jesus Christ, and they knew that because He is Lord, He would want us to do this. I think that's what we ought to be about today. I will have been a Christian 12 years at the end of December. And I say in my own shame, this is the first time in my Christian life I have ever sold any of my possessions to give to someone else who had a need. And I've got to confess this morning, I don't know where I missed that. But it seems so clear and so evident that that's what the church was about in the first century. And it seems to me that if we're going to read this and study it and go by it, we ought to practice it. If we're not going to do what it says, folks, let's just go home and watch the football game. Let's quit talking about New Testament Christianity and restoration, please. Let's just go home and do our own thing. These people believed that Jesus was Lord. And out of a commitment to His lordship, they did what He wanted them to do. Even if it meant selling their possessions. I've been so thrilled and encouraged by the way that this family has responded to selling possessions. I've heard of more garage sales that have taken place in the last 2 or 3 weeks than I've heard of, and I don't know when. I tell you, the garage sale shoppers had a field day the last 2 weekends. Of people who are trying to find opportunity to sell possessions so that they could give to families in our midst who are hurting financially. I think that is a beautiful thing to behold and encouraging. God help us that we might practice what we see these people doing. And from time to time, be willing to separate ourselves from the possessions that the Lord has given us to use to meet the needs of others who don't have. Let's pray together. Father, may we understand the Lordship of Jesus and be committed to it. May we not only claim that nothing that we have is ours, but may we also practice it. May we understand that whatever you need and whatever you want, we're willing to give or sell or sacrifice because it's enough to know that you need it for your people. Father, thank you so much for the people of this family who've gone to great trouble and great sacrifice in order to sell possessions so that they could give to other members of this family who are hurting. Father, thank you for the great feeling and the encouragement that this gives our souls and our spirits. Thank you for the encouragement it'll give to those who are in need. And thank you for the encouragement it gives us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're going to notice that in the pew in front of you, in the songbook rack, there's an envelope. I'd like for you to get your hands on one of those, at least one of the members of the family. For those of you who are sitting on front rows, you're going to find those envelopes in the songbooks, in the songbook rack down underneath. If you would get one of those envelopes, we have some extras, I believe, and if you need one, you just hold up your hand and we'll get it to you. We've got some gentlemen here with some extras, and if you need one, you just hold up your hand. We'd like for everyone to take an envelope at this time. Now I'd like for you to open it up. And inside, there is a 3x5 index card. I want you to write something on that card. After you get the card, would you just please look at me for a second and listen to the instructions so that there won't be any confusion. It may be that you find yourself this morning in a financial crisis, you or your family. We are family. This is a family project. And we want you to just write your name on there if you have a need. It may be that you know someone in this family who may not write their own name down, but that you may know a family in this congregation that may have need. Take some time to write their name down on this card. If you know someone in this fellowship that has need, you write their name down on that card. I took some time this morning and wrote down 3 or 4 of the people that I know of that can use some assistance, that I know are having some struggles right now, making ends meet. People who've lost jobs. People are having a difficult time, not able to pay their bills and pay their rent, put food on the table. Just take a time, a moment, to write down a name, an anonymous thing. You don't put your name on it at all, sign it or anything like that. If you know a family that is hurting, if you know a family that is in need or an individual, you write their name down on the card. And if that's you, don't be hesitant to write it down. No one will ever know. But write it down on this card so that our elders might know the people in this family who are in need. We know of some. But in a family this size, it'd be difficult to know all. Would you write down the name or names of family or families or individuals that you're aware of that have financial need right now? Would you do that? If you have done that, let me just wait just a moment until everyone has had time to do that. Please give some thought, some care, and some time. And think of people that you know that can use some help and encouragement. Write their name on that card. After you have written that on the card, would you put the card back in the envelope, please? Don't seal it. Just put the card back in the envelope. Now, for those of you who sold possessions and you have money to give today as a result of the sale of your possessions, would you put that in the envelope along with the card? If you were unable to sell possessions and you'd just like to make a gift to someone who has need in here, you put that in this envelope as well. Our regular contribution for the budget and the commitments you've made, that will come later in the service. This is something special that we're doing for those who have need among us. And if you're unable to sell possessions and you just want to make a contribution or a gift to family members in this congregation who are hurting, put that gift along with the card inside the envelopes. If someone, John asked the question, if someone has a possession that they were unable to sell, that they would just like to give, that would be helpful to someone, if you just want to write that on the card, that'd be fine. That'd be fine. And we can make that information available to those who are in need. So the card and the proceeds from the sale of possessions or a gift that you would like to make would be in the envelope. Okay. Now let me tell you how we're going to go about this, all right? The Bible indicates that as they sold these possessions and took the proceeds, they laid them at the apostles' feet, and the apostles distributed them as they had need. We don't have apostles today. And so obviously we can't come and lay them at the apostles' feet, but we can come and lay it before the Lord. And then our elders can take that and can distribute it to the families who have need, the families that they're aware of, and the families that you make them aware of this morning. And we're going to come as family and lay those before the Lord, lay that gift before the Lord. We're going to do it in a very orderly fashion, but I think it's going to be so meaningful for two or three reasons. One, this is a family project where all the family is involved. That we either can give something or we can give the elders information of a family who is in need. It's a family project for family units within this body where our children can share with us in this experience. And we have trained some special ushers that are going to be dismissing us row by row. And row by row, we're going to come and put our gift before the Lord in these baskets. While that is going on, so that it isn't just watching people come to the front, we're also going to be singing and listening as Scripture is read that pertain to the kind of thing we're doing this morning. You're going to find that on the back of your announcement sheet, the order of worship. We're going to take just a few minutes of silence here and let you reflect on the body of Christ and affirm that by your gift or by the families you know of that are in need. And then James is going to begin leading us. Monty Stevens will be reading Scripture to us. And as James begins leading our first song, the ushers will go to their places and they'll begin dismissing people row by row, and we will come and lay our gifts before the Lord. May God bless us. May He be glorified by the gifts that are offered today, by the love that is shown, and the sacrifices that are made for members of the family of God. What a beautiful sight it is when those who love the Lord come and share with one another. We've talked already in our study of Acts that fellowship, koinonia, is sharing something you have with somebody, or sharing in something with somebody. That's the true meaning of koinonia, fellowship. This morning, We have been sharing fellowship as we share something we have with someone else. As we move to that part in our service where we share communion together, we move even deeper into fellowship. Paul, in writing in 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, made this statement beginning at verse 16. Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a communion in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread that we break a communion in the body of Christ? Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one loaf. This morning, fellowship, communion, koinonia, is sharing that one-on-one relationship with the Lord Jesus through the supper. And it's also sharing in that relationship one with another as members of the body of Christ. We give God thanks and praise for the communion and for the fellowship we share with Him and with each other as we now partake of the loaf and of the fruit of the vine. If you'll open your hymn books to number 702, number 702. That will be our hymn of encouragement in just a moment. When I read passages like the one for our study this morning in Acts, the 4th chapter, I am filled first with such a sense of encouragement as I anticipate the love and the fellowship that these folks shared. And I'm also filled with a sense of challenge that we might do all that we can to have the kind of fellowship and love in this family that they had in the church in Jerusalem. I wish that we didn't have to go into the 5th chapter. I wish we could just stop right there in Acts 4 at the end when we finish reading of that magnificent, encouraging thing that was taking place in the church in Jerusalem. But God is true and faithful and just. And He records the whole picture, warts and all. And as you read the first part of Acts chapter 5, you see God's judgment for the first time in the church. Back in the Old Testament, as the people of Israel came in to possess the promised land, there was sin in the camp. As a man named Achan had took some of the things that were devoted to God and hid them in his tent, and God's judgment was on Israel because of the sin that was in the camp. And God was saying to His people, sin will be judged. It will not be judged every single time that it occurs. But I'm giving you this example in dealing with Achan so that you might know that sin is going to be judged one time or another. In the early part of the 5th chapter of Acts, we find God judging sin. Ananias and Sapphira lied to the Holy Spirit of God. And God passed judgment on their sin. As if He were saying, this is the way sin will be judged by Me. The sin in the church will not be judged every time it occurs, but I'm giving you this one as an example and as a warning that sin will be judged. You will answer for sin. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift in Jesus Christ. Because of the gift of Jesus Christ, we do not have to answer for the sin in our lives. For Jesus has already taken our place and answered for us. This morning, if you are without Christ Jesus, you must answer to God firsthand for your sin. His blood covers us and cleanses us. But you must be in Christ Jesus. This morning, if you're not, what a marvelous time to come and say, I don't want to answer for my sin. I know that there's sin in my life, but I want Christ Jesus to answer for my sin. I want the sacrifice He made at Calvary to take my place. And I want to respond to His loving call today. This morning, if you want to be a part of a fellowship of people that are striving and trying and learning and growing to try to be like these people we read about in the fourth chapter of Acts, we'd love for you to come and to place your hand in ours, and together we'll serve and we'll love and we'll give and we'll sacrifice and we'll pray and we'll grow and we'll cry and we'll laugh. But we'll do it together. And we'll do it in the loving fellowship of Christ Jesus. Whatever your response this morning to the invitation of Jesus, we invite you to come and urge you to come right now while we stand and while we sing.